website.
Right, good evening, fellow council members and officers. Happy New Year to anyone who've not seen and wished Happy New Year already. It's a nice January, cold, blowy night, but no rain, thank goodness. So perhaps some of the floods might just have a chance to recede, one can only hope. This is the Resources Scrutiny Committee, and we'll start, please, with the minutes of the 7th of November, as published on the website. Is everyone in favour of them? Thank you. And we'll move on to apologies, please.
Councillor Powell, who's been substituted by Councillor Leeson.
Okay. And as it looks at the moment, Roy James as well. Here's a post office gentleman who's probably doing some sort of an interview somewhere. But, thought Kerry would have got him by now. Right. On a serious note, public question time, nil. Councillor session, nil. Called in items, nil. And members' items, nil. So we'll move on to the main body of the meeting tonight. And that's a general fund review budget 2023 to 2024. And Chris is going to presumably present this one.
Chairman, just before Chris presents this, I wonder if I can just say that I'm sure everybody here, all present, would want to join me in thanking both Chris and Emma Folco, and indeed Judith as well, and all the rest of the finance team who've helped to put this budget together. It's been very hard work, a lot of effort, particularly when working to very, very tight deadlines to produce it, because the result of the government's usual tardiness from not actually letting us have the figures until a few days before Christmas. So they really have had to burn the midnight oil, and they're very grateful for that. They must have worked hugely hard in order to complete what can only be described as a Herculean task. So I'm sure we'd all want to express our thanks to all the finance.
Yeah, thank you for that. We normally thank people after the event, but I will take on board what you said, Ralph. Right, thank you. And so, Chris, over to you.
So I don't intend to read the report ad verbatim, so I'll just pick out
some.
From the recommendations, the key elements are that the general fund budget being set at 17.460 million. The working balance is being maintained at 1 million, and that the proposed increase in council tax is 2.99%. And the inflation parameters that we used, as we already saw in fees and charge brought through, are generally set at 6%. The new car parking charge is in Appendix 8, are directly related to the general fund. It was merely a case of some additional new car parking charges coming on stream, and we didn't include the fees and charges. So, not intrinsic to the delivery of this report. So, as Ralph was saying, we got this settlement incredibly late this year. It was about a week before we actually published the paper, which wasn't terribly helpful. The main elements that we had in the settlement were the addition of a new grant, the core spending power grant, and the funding guarantee grant. Now, the funding guarantee grant came in for 1.986 million, which is obviously quite a significant sum as per Table 2. On page 9, that was supported by a rural services grant of £29,000 and core spending grant of £18,000. So that was really substantial money that came that we weren't expecting, as we weren't in the habit of budgeting for those one-off grants in the past. You'll note at the bottom of the table, in Table 2, we are actually planning to budget for those in future years, so we're not asking for approval for them. We have put them in there as an indicator, 1.5 million in 25-26. and 1,026,027. And this is something we discussed with our external auditors. They thought it would be helpful to us to include this information, as we always know that we're going to get those grants in future years. We just can't actually budget for them because they haven't been announced yet. So you can also see that they're incredibly prudent. In 23-24, we got 1.6 million, nearly 2 million in 24-25. So to reflect that prudence, it's 1.5 million in 25-26, then a million in 26-27. So we thought that was a reasonable estimate to have in there. Taking those into account, you can see that the revised transfers to or from balances are 123,034,000 two balances, and then a 264,000 deficit in 26-27. The reason for that is that we are forecasting a business rate reset in 26-27. We've had no clarity around it as yet. It's really been indicated that the government may do it, so we try to include it in there. And it's about £600,000 detriment to the budget that year. So even taking that into account, the £600,000, it's still only a deficit of £264,000. So we can see that Stafford's in a really robust financial position. We are also assuming that council tax will be raised the maximum amount to achieve this position. But thanks to those grants that we weren't actually anticipating, and the future years including that, we've been able to create three new reserves as per Table 3, paragraph 5.26. So these new reserves are the investment reserve of 1.5 million, business initiative reserve of £500,000, and a climate change reserve of 250. The climate change reserve of 250,000 is going to be added to the additional reserve provision, brings the total to £275,000 to be allocated to climate change projects that might want to work up, business cases and what have you. The idea behind the business initiative reserve and the investment reserve is so that service areas can bring forward business cases to do transformational work or invest in their areas or changes or specific elements that councillors and members may want to drive out for projects, work them up and draw on those funds and then use those funds to reinvest in the council and its provision. The idea behind those being that we'll actually be able to improve our service delivery, take on new projects. Frequently when we try to do these things, we don't have balances available to draw down. So having these here ready to go will make it a much cleaner process. It'll have greater transparency rather than trying to inject it directly into a base budget. There'll be a business plan process that has to go through, an appraisal that's led by officers, what have you, and then for members to finally approve as it goes through the usual cycle. So we'll have greater transparency and be able to use those funds to invest in the council. So I think that's a really positive change for us going forwards. Some of the other changes in that table, the portfolio budget's been higher than anticipated. That's largely driven by the final pay award coming in much higher than we anticipated. We try to mitigate that going forwards by using a higher estimate in future years, so we hope we won't be caught out again. And as we start to see inflation falling away now, we think we've been relatively prudent with what we've got in for future years, so we don't expect to see that kind of large gap opening up again. And then by us starting to include those one-off grants in future years, again, we shouldn't see those big fluctuations in our base budget or our final settlement position. Some of the other key elements that we've got in there around the... the business rates income. So while it's an area of great volatility for us still going forwards, we try to mitigate that by creating a reserve to offset the potential reset, but also to start smoothing future years. It's not something that we control directly. We're never quite sure what the multiplier will do, so it is a tricky one for us to balance off. So we have got a reserve in place for that as well. The 23-24 forecast outturn, as per paragraph 5.8, on the portfolios, we're expecting a £285,000 deficit at present. As I've said before, that's driven out by the pay awards and some of our service delivery, and inflation is now built into our service delivery and some of our contracts. But the council has had a strong performance on its investment income in the year, driven by higher interest rates. So I have to stress that these are windfalls, they're one-off amounts that we'll get in, so they're not built into the base position going forwards. We can't expect them to continue into the future. We do actually expect interest rates to start falling in the springtime now. So for future years, we have reflected that. But for 23-24, we're forecasting a £2.2 million surplus over the budgeted for position for investment income. resulting in a favourable overall forecast outturn of 2 million. That surplus is what is feeding into that investment reserve as well. So the settlement plus those elements, the savings that we've delivered, as per table, paragraph 5.6, have all come together to show that strong financial performance to give us the real bedrock to start building from going forward. The budget saving proposals have all been revised in the year. We did a full zero-based budgeting exercise to help set our budgets moving forward. As well as that, we reviewed all the savings. So the ones that are left in table one, we're confident and robust and deliverable in the year. So that will also start to help our base position and start to make us a little bit more efficient going forwards. I think, by and large, they're the key elements I want to talk about in terms of the finances for going forwards. So the elements around the future, the uncertainty, we're still only getting the 1 year settlements. So this includes in paragraph 5.48 onwards, a horizon statement. We haven't been able to make a budgetary provision for some of these, like the food waste collection. We've had notice about some grant monies coming in from DEFRA, I think it was today or yesterday. But we don't know how much it's going to cost us yet. We're not quite clear how that will look. So there's a great deal of uncertainty around that. With inflation starting to come down and investment income rates start to come down as well, there's some uncertainty around what our income will be from that going forward. And as I say, throughout the report, and we say every year, 1 year settlements just don't really work for local government. It means that we have to be a lot more reactionary. We can't make decisions on a more strategic level. And that's getting ever more difficult. And we're seeing that in the wider area as well, the number of councils starting to fall over that edge and really starting to struggle. So it's fortunate that staff is in a robust position, driven by significant new house building, high council tax base to start with, increasing council tax rates and a number of other demographic reasons, but fundamentally it's still going to be challenging going forwards, so the right decisions need to be taken on this kind of thing. So that's really the key point of the budget.
Thank you very much. Do any of the officers want to comment before we start? No? Okay. I presume that members would like to go through page by page to capture any questions. Yeah. Okay, so we'll start with page 3, an important page. Any questions there? No. Page 4. No. Page 5. No. Page 6. Right, I would like to just ask a question, please, on this one. Paragraph 5.9 does show, as you say, strong performance on investment income in the year. Am I right in just reiterating that that's £2 million and that is really a windfall for the residents of Stafford Borough?
For the council for that year, yeah.
Right. And
Chair, something we'll be careful about here, because a lot of people have been badly bitten, haven't they, by high interest rates.
Yes, definitely.
We're in a sense in the fortunate position of it was advantageous to us. But I wouldn't like to crow about that too much, because there are a lot of people feeling a lot of pain. You know, people having to renew their mortgages, for example. People living in rented accommodation find their rents are going up significantly. Landlords are having to face higher mortgage charges or whatever, pushing them up. So there are a lot of people suffering because of high interest rates. I suppose we're one of the fortunate groups who's actually had quite a lot of money from it, which, you know, the Deputy Chief Executive Resources has explained how we're going to use it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I would just hope that windfall, which is ultimately paid for by the residents of the borough, goes back to residents of the borough, and it's really down to you guys to evidence that that's the case, because it is so important. As you say, cost of living crisis, whatever you want to call it, it is impacting on people now that the interest rates and the fact that we've got as a borough council an extra 2 million coming into the coffers has got to be a good thing, and we need to sort of redistribute that.
But Chair, it is a windfall. We can't rely on this.
Yeah.
In the future.
Can I therefore just ask a question again? As we go forwards over the next 3 or 4 years, what sort of figure do you predict that will be? Because this is the year one, and as you say, there's going to be some sort of a reduction in interest rates.
We can see it reducing from that 2 million down into 25-26, will probably be around 1 million in our net investment income, and then down to 840,000 in 26-27. So it's not something we can really rely on going forwards. And it is, as you say, ensuring that we invest it in services, invest to save proposals, delivering services more effectively, giving better service on the back of it, rather than try to use it once as a one-off or treat it like a reserve, pull down, spent, and then it's effectively gone. So it is really important for us to ensure it's used effectively. I'm sure through members, when we bring the proposal they bring to us, we'll invest appropriately and get the best for the people in the area.
Thank you.
Are those figures in a schedule in these papers? Because I haven't been able to find them as yet. Can you demonstrate where they are?
Yep, it's in table 2 on page 9, in line 3, third line down, second line of figures, net investment income.
Going from 2.6 down to 840.
Mm-hmm.
And that investment income is the effect, is the declining impact of declining interest rates.
Sadly, yes. Use of our reserves as we start to deliver programmes and plan drawdowns to support service areas. So that's reflected in the appendices around the reserves and the options.
So, Chairman, there was an opportunity to benefit the residents of Stafford on that. The reason you're not choosing to take that is because it's a windfall and not a continuer. Is that my understanding of that right?
Ralph?
Chairman, as I understand it, we've been arguing that these investment pots will actually benefit the residents of the borough, because the work which will be coming out of those investment pots will be for the benefit of those residents. So it's not as if we're forgetting those residents, we're actually working for them via those investment pots, which we can't add to the base budget for all the reasons we've given.
Are you happy with that, or?
Well, I understand the words, but I can't see the. So, can you be more specific about how the residents are going to benefit from that, then?
Well, Chair, through you. If we're going to improve our processes, if we're going to improve the training which we may do for members of staff in the finance department, if we're going to actually look at our procedures and improve them, then all that is going to be for the benefit, a better service to the residents. That's the aim of the whole thing. I mean, otherwise, why are we here?
Is that how the residents, Chair, is that how the residents are going to benefit from that, through improved procedures?
I think I would like to just sort of some clarification there, really, because under 5.5, you've got investment in the finance team. And then you're saying table 2 seconds, table 5.5.2.6, table 3, that money's going to go into investment income, business initiative reserve, and climate change. It doesn't mention the staffing.
What you're seeing in paragraph 5.5 is an addition to the base budget for the finance team, for example, to increase staffing, support investment in the team, because as we've said, as we're embarking on a whole number of investment schemes, if we're looking at the Guildhall, if we're looking at the Co-op, we're looking at the other one, the Gateway, all these are investment schemes, but they do require staffing. You know, they require people to work those things on, to actually push them on, to deal with all the issues that come from that. Finance team is pretty central to all that. And therefore, we've put in 159,000 to increase staffing, not cutting. I mean, this council is used to cutting staffing, but we're moving in the opposite direction. Rightly so, I think, in order to actually give people the straw to make the bricks, because otherwise there's no use asking to work harder and harder and harder, and then creating all sorts of problems in your personnel. So we have created that 159. That is very good news, and we've also created a budget for £100,000 for transformation. So there again, we can review our processes and procedures to ensure we're delivering best practice in service provision.
Apologies, I'll come back to other members in a second. But you did say in a preamble that the windfall tax would be used towards towards staffing and making sure that the money's spent properly.
Not for staffing as such, because we're not putting it into the base budget.
So going back to the question from my friend over here, what is that windfall tax going to be used for? No, I'd like the cabinet member to answer that question.
Well, we've explained what it's going to be used for. What we're going to have to do now that we've created these investment pots, we'll now be working up stuff to actually use the money on. I mean, let's face it, we've already said the second one, the business initiative reserve, that's £500,000, that's going to be for service areas to build robust business cases to bid for resources to support service delivery. And these business cases will have to go towards an evaluation panel to ensure that maximum value for money is achieved. I can't tell you what is going to happen there immediately. All we've done is created that reserve. We've created that opportunity for things to happen which are very positive and which will be for the benefit of the residents of this borough.
Okay, I'm going to go two seconds. I'm going to go to Councillor Jones, and then I'm going to go to Councillor Carter. So
that's fairly nebulous. I think that if I was a resident of Stafford, it doesn't seem to me that there's going to be any significant benefit to me as a resident of Stafford. I've been told that behind the scenes there'll be a lot of work done in improving efficiency and such for the future, but nothing that's going to take place in terms of helping as far as the increases in cost of living, etc. And I think that there's an opportunity here to have done that, and I don't think you are taking advantage of the opportunity.
Chris, I'll come back to you in a second. I think it's for members really, for a start.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So for me, and having kind of discussed this at length within our members, I've understood two kind of very distinct things from this. The first is the zero-based budgeting activity, which was commenced last year, which has taken, if the council income and expenditure was absolutely nothing at all, what would we need to make the most effective council for residents of Stafford Borough? And that's kind of that zero-based process. As part of that, we've been able to identify places that were previously under-resourced, places that were previously over, and made some transfers, one of which is towards the finance team to fund our capital programme administration and the complex technical accounting that goes behind that quite enormous capital programme, through which we're kind of getting all the investment income from our current reserves, as well as the monies we hold on behalf of the county council and so on. The second part of that is, as a result of that, and our investment reserves have kind of gone up because we've had that investment income, we've got kind of three distinct opportunities. One is investment in climate change, which I'm personally very pleased about, because that's something that overall will save the council money and create efficiency. So money invested in reducing our carbon output reduces our energy bills and our reliance on fossil fuels, and therefore is money saving and investment that then goes back into services. We've then got the business initiative and the investment reserve. What I want to focus on is the investment reserve, one, because it's the biggest figure and therefore clearly kind of has the most power if we think about that £1.5 million. But it's actually the opportunity that we have as members to communicate with our residents, to look at communities that can benefit from the power of the public purse. So if we're thinking about public spending, for every pound that's spent in the public purse, We're generating more than that in communities. So we've got the opportunity as members to work with communities, work with residents, to put actually powerful funding behind initiatives that are going to benefit people more than putting a pound in their pocket, but giving them 5, 10, 15 pounds of value for that pound. And that's the most important thing for me, is that we are taking 1.5 million pounds separate from the business initiatives, which is within the council's kind of departments, in order to look at how we can make those kind of long-term efficiency savings, which ultimately will flow through to residents because we'll be a better and more efficient council. But actually having that opportunity for us to work with local residents and local groups to kind of have that impact. And that to me is what we've discussed, and that's what I've understood from these reserves, is we're actually taking this, we're using the power that we have as a larger body to create more public benefit than we would by giving individuals a pound, for example. We're going to give them a lot more value.
So,
if that helps.
So for the members that haven't been involved in that discussion, which obviously you have, that investment income is actually a community investment in income.
As far as I'm concerned, yeah. So the business initiative reserve is for initiatives within the council, but the investment income can be of multiple benefits depending on what the community and what we kind of look at when we listen. So I think that there's kind of those two elements there. We're not just saying, oh, this investment income, we've already squirreled it away into departments, because if we had embedded it into departments, what we would have done was put it in the base budget. But we haven't done that. We've kept it separate for investment into doing things that are going to benefit residents and back into those frontline services. There's two different ways you can do that. You can either hand the money back to residents, in which it's going to overall generate less economic value, or you can spend it as a local authority in something that will generate much more economic value. And that's the difference.
So for the cabinet member, are you happy with that being a community investment fund?
I think, actually, Chair, we've got to see what ideas, what schemes are coming up, and see how we can use them without creating too many problems for ourselves in terms of ongoing current expenditure, which would impact on the base budget.
Okay, anyone else?
As far as 24, 25 is concerned, because I understand what you're saying, but it isn't a short term. It will take time to work through the benefits of what you're describing. And as far as the residents in 24, 25 are concerned, they won't see much material benefit out of that additional money that is available.
If I may, Chair, just respond to that, please. So I think what's really important is we do see, actually, I think all of us as kind of members in touch with our local communities and in touch with different people who work both within and with the council, are already probably aware of places that could do with additional funding, investment, and things that we can do as a local authority already. What we are looking at is the efficiency and the leanness that we can do that. We're investing in the finance team in order to do that, so these things can be processed quickly and more effectively. And we're looking at doing that over the period of time that we are kind of discussing with this budget. What I will say is anything that is a reserve, if we haven't spent down that in the year, it still remains a reserve that we badge to those particular things. And therefore, if it doesn't all get spent, it will still be there for those things. But we're not looking to hold it over for years and years. The point of it is to be invested in the here and now.
Yeah, and Chairman, I understand what you're saying, but it's medium term, and I'm not a short-termist, but there is an opportunity there that has not been taken advantage of in short term on the basis that you're looking at. You've got more medium term horizons, and I'm not sure that feels entirely right from my point of view.
Okay, thank you.
Just to simplify, Mr. Chairman, you're investing in facilities to produce future benefit. And so we're creating reserves to allow those future facilities to be in place to create the future benefit. We are a resource scrutiny committee which is charged with examining the effectiveness of that spending. And you're asking us to have an article of faith that the money that you're going to be spending now, which will generate no savings in probably the next financial year
or the one after,
will start to produce in the one after and produce even more. One has to be very careful with this when you hear that the only committed spending is on an increased bureaucracy. Because by its very nature, an increased bureaucracy does not generate savings. So we will have to be very careful. Our management team will have to make sure that the money that's been invested in them actually does generate savings for our taxpayers.
And okay. I think that that will be monitored, Chair. But I wouldn't call it an increased bureaucracy. It's very emotional language. I'd rather call it increased staffing.
Well, no, it is.
It has a different connotation. We need more staff in the finance department in order to help the other things that we're doing. We have a problem in this council in that in the past, and we've noticed this time and time again, we tended to cut staff, save that money. Meanwhile, there were problems in staffing, and we're now seeing some hangovers in that, aren't we? We're seeing that in planning, for example. We're seeing that in legal. And if we're not careful and don't help out here, we might start seeing that in finance. And I wouldn't want to see that, because I don't think that helps the council at all, and because of that, it doesn't help our residents.
Thank you. Is there any other members want to speak? No? Okay, now Chris has been itching to speak.
It would be helpful to just inform some of the debates, I think. In terms of the investment in the finance team and what have you, we all fully aware that we are 2 years behind on our statutory accounts. We've really struggled to deliver some of those returns and elements. It's public domain. We've documented it. It's been through our audit committees. We need to start doing better. We need to invest in that. Some decisions we've taken in the past to reduce staffing levels and what have you have generated those short-term gains or what have you that have been discussed. But we do need to start getting back on track with some of that work. So it's not really a case of increasing bureaucracy, it's having sufficient resource to deliver on our statutory functions and our ability to deliver on the schemes that we're committed to. So there's been a number of schemes discussed by my new member here in the town central, what have you. So that investment in the base budget is just to bring us up to a baseline level to actually achieve some of those statutory requirements. It's not going to give us a surplus of resources within the teams. It's to start looking to address some of those challenges that we faced in previous years. In terms of the investments funded, as we're calling it, and supporting the community, any investments that we do will have robust business cases that members will be able to scrutinise and have debate on and see that we bring through. For those final reports, we have to have permission from council to spend those monies, so you will all have that ability to scrutinise and discuss those then. So it's not like it's a nebulous fund that won't have any oversight. It's actually opening up to greater governance rather than us injecting it into a base position when you would approve it here and then those funds just be drawn down. So we're actually trying to increase transparency. I think that should be a welcome thing for members to have a greater say in these things and these elements. Anything we do to invest after that scrutiny is for the betterment of the area and the people in the area. Same as you, I live in the area as well. So having an enhanced ability to access services or better service delivery to me, I would personally welcome, be that through better website design, which is not the most fun thing in the world, but if it's greater accessibility for users in the area, that's great. But I'm sure members will have ideas they can bring to officers, and we can look at trying to enable that as well. So we don't think we have all the answers. It is going to be a two-way process of engagement going forwards. But we'll see that in future scrutiny.
Okay, Matt. We are increasing bureaucracy.
Yeah. Angela.
Chairman, I feel I've really got to come in here because this talking about increasing bureaucracy is a total misunderstanding of what is involved in the running of the business of the Borough Council. And you ought to know as well as, in particular, Councillor Dodson, the members of the Audit and Accounts Committee, how many times have we looked at that and seen that there is a shortage of staff? There has always been a shortage of staff. I myself have raised it many, many times. And what have I been told? I've been told by cabinet members in the past, nobody's complained about it. And the fact that I, as a councillor, complained about it, didn't really matter. You looked at any of the tables where you could see where there were savings, and the majority of those savings were coming from the fact that staff were leaving and they were not being replaced. It's high time we started replacing staff, not only in the finance team, but throughout the whole of the borough. And to sit there talking about increased bureaucracy is an absolute nonsense. And you know that. You just think that the word's a good word. And you'll all think it's marvellous and it's very clever of you, but it's not clever of you. The fact is, we need more staff in this borough to fulfil the promises that we are making to them. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Can I ask a question on staffing? While we're going over this and going in deeply into it, and I presume it's one for Judith on this one. On paragraph 5, where you mentioned the finance team and the need for more staffing, you've put in an amount of £159,000. With back office costs, how many employees, FTEs, what would that actually pay
so
for?
That 159 is being matched by Canic, as it's a shared service. So in total, there'll be a £300,000 investment in finance. We have a plan structure in place. That's something that we're working through at the moment, and we'll be bringing that through as appropriate reporting. So can't disclose that as yet. Got to go through consultation, what have you. But we believe it will be sufficient for us to be able to deliver our statutory function. We're going to be open to scrutiny as we bring it through.
So this is our bit towards the finance for the transformation of the finance team. Do you know what the Canic bit will be putting it? Are they match funding? 50-50?
Not quite.
Well, I think you did bring up finance and bureaucracy, so I think it's a relevant question.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, when are we supposed to be going through page by page here? Because we seem to be dashing all over the place.
No, we are on page 7, but a question was brought up on 6, which is relevant to 5.5. So that's why we're discussing it.
Which page do you want to go on to?
Page 8. Any questions? No? Page 9. Page 10. I think we've covered that as well. Page 11. No? Could I ask a question again from the chair? And it's on the first paragraph 5.29, and this was about the business rates reset and the fact that both the administration and the officers don't really know what is going to happen because it's central government. Part of that reset will be down to the growth within the borough. Are you as an administration relaxed with the growth of the borough as we go forwards, or do you think we need to sort of hold it back, because this is obviously intrinsic, this budget obviously affects, and we've got the cabinet member, affects the policy going forwards on the local plan?
Businesses which will give more employment to people in this borough, a variety of businesses. I would have thought that's a cross-party thing by and large. We all want that, sure,
yeah.
For the borough. Our problem is that we don't have very much information from the government about this. I mean, we're talking about this possible business reset may happen in 26, 27. There's no certainty, of course, on that. And who knows what's going to happen? There's going to be an election this year. who knows what's going to come out of that election? I think I've got a fair idea, but you know. But the point is, of course, that could throw business rates up in the air again, because any new government or whatever may have other things on their minds, and so yet again we'll have this sword of Damocles hanging over our head.
So just to finish, if you could just answer the question, the first part, which was, if we want to go for growth, we'll get more business rates going. And you said you want to go for growth, which I'm sure we all agree with, absolutely. Does that include house building?
I would have thought house building would be a part of that, yes. But that's not business rates as such. That would be the new homes bonus, wouldn't it?
Well,
and we again don't have we don't have anything more than a year or whatever ahead on the new homes bonus.
Yeah.
So again, we're kept in the dark. It means medium-term planning, which is what we should be doing, medium-term financial planning, is virtually impossible because the government only thinks in terms of 1 year at a time, and we're expected to think in terms of 3 or 4 years at a time.
Well, thank you for that. But as I say, what the reason I asked the question was that growth and houses, council tax and business rates, you can't have an increase in business without an increase in housing. So that was the reason for asking it. So thank you very much. Anyone else on page 11? Page 12? Page 13? Page 14? And finally, page 15. Okay. Now, I understand that the appendixes are all will be covered by the relevant scrutiny committees. Am I correct in that?
They can ask those questions if they so wish. We're planning to bring the budget, though, just to resources at this stage. So it would come up through the natural cycle if something's changed or if our specific question, but generally the budget is just coming to resources this year.
Right. Okay. So that being the case,
Mr. Chair, I think the heading on the centre of page 13 is somewhat unfortunate, because we all know what happened when we got Horizon involved.
This is a different variety of attention. I hope you all watched the programme, and if you didn't, I suggest you do so.
Okay, right. So we'll go through the appendices as we are. Any comments or questions on page 16, page 17, page 18, page 19, page 20, which are the variation statements, page 21. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47. Keep it up with me, guys. 48, 49, 50, 51. 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60. Now, there's no questions on any of that. In terms of the next stage with this budget, you said this is not going to go to the scrutiny committees. However, obviously it's going to go to full council, So I presume that if members have any questions on the appendices from elsewhere within the council, that's probably the point to raise them. Am I correct in that?
They can ask us at any time. A number have already approached us for some of the detail. We supplied answers to them already. So, yeah, feel free to ask us along the way.
Excellent, thank you.
I would say, Chair, that it will also go back to Cabinet later this month. It will come back. Because if there's been any feedback as part of the consultation exercise, that would need to be considered by the Cabinet before it then goes on to Council at the end of the month.
And do we know the dates of that for members? The full council's on the 30th.
Full council's on the 30th. I think the cabinet meeting's about the 18th, is it? 18th or 19th, something like that.
18th of January.
Have you got it?
It's the 18th.
18th of January.
It's the 18th. The cabinet, that evening.
Okay, thank you. Can I, at this point, echo what was said by Ralph at the start of the meeting? And thank officers and members for the work that's been put into this and audit. I presume this has had some feeding from audit as well. So thank you very much. Okay. Now we'll move on now, please, to item
7B,
which is the work programme for Resources Scrutiny Committee. We do have dates for review of the Constitution.
We've actually got task and finish groups as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
Review of the Constitution.
Could I ask that that members have those dates sent out to them to make sure that over the Christmas period it doesn't slip from the diaries. Is there anything else we need to discuss on the work programme tonight?
Chairman, can I ask, are there any significant items coming forward for revision to the Constitution?
I'm not aware of that.
You haven't been given any?
I've got a date on my diary, or not, for the 22nd of January, review of Constitution.
Yes, that's right.
I imagine it would depend on who put in proposals for alterations to
that's
the Constitution.
Right.
And if members don't do that,
well,
then
I'm asking,
rely
are, there,
the
are there any in? That's what I was asking.
Have you put any in?
I haven't, no.
Right, there you go then. Have any of your colleagues?
I haven't asked them.
Well, ask them. I'm ready to suggest to them that you put things in.
Well, only if they want to.
Members, could we have these little discussions after the event of the meeting,
why?
Please?
Why not now?
I know this is.
Just
I feel there's a certain amount of mischievousness in some of the statements that have been made in the last minute.
If it's helpful, we're not wanting to add any mischief at all. I understand there's a scheduled meeting that's been sent out by Mr. Curran. For meetings at 6 p.m. on the 22nd of January, the 12th of February, and the 13th of March.
Okay, thank you so much for the clarity there. That being the case, is there anything else we need to cover on this meeting?
I will ask Mr. Curran to drop in that.
Thank you.
I have a feeling, actually, Chair, that we do actually get prior information about what's coming up.
We do
have a chance to think about it before we get to the meeting.
Okay, thank you all very much. It's under an hour, which is good. And we'll continue the...
I just want to say one thing, Chair, about the work programme. I'm sure you want to remind members that the agenda really depends a lot of extent as well on the members of the committee. And you know, it's up to members to consider what they'd like to scrutinise and then get officers to do papers on the thing so that they can have a look at it.
It is pretty large, I agree with you.
It could well be that that is the last meeting of this municipal year, and the next one after this will probably be in June, and that'll be the next municipal year. So it may be that's why, that where it is at the end of that. But it's always worthwhile reminding members that the agenda is in members' hands.
I think just from the chair, it's an organic process. As we sort of find out some of the community investments, proposals and such like, those are the sort of things that are going to come forwards to this meeting. So thank you for bringing it up, and I'm sure that these...
In the spirit of help.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, just looking at my diary, and as the Chief Executive said, Ian Curran did send out a list of three dates for constitution, one of which I think is 13th of March, mm-hmm. which would appear to clash with the resources scrutiny.
It's before.
It's 6 o'clock.
Oh, right, okay.
That's
so
right.
It's going to be a quick dash through that thing, and then the resources.
Well, unless we get something put into it, there won't be a lot to sort of dash through.
All right, just checking diary.
He did also say, though, that it might not be the need for all three meetings.
That's right.
So if you get the business done in the first and the second one, for example, you won't need the one in March.
And I don't recall, Chairman, last year there was only one meeting to review the Charter Committee, mm-hmm. review the Constitution, and then we went straight to that final meeting for resources and took off one hand and put on the other one.
That's right.
We agreed with ourselves.
Okay. Thank you all very much, and please drive home safely, because it's not a nice night, or walk, or take public transport.